Welcome, everybody, to the Chuck and Julie Show. Chuck Bonniewell, Julie Hayden here at BBS Radio. We should have a great hump day, and it's a lot of stuff to talk about, and, of course, our great sponsor.
That's right, ColoradoCitizenPress.com. That's Colorado's conservative voice, one of the websites I check, Chuck checks every day, morning and then at night. You're going to get at Colorado Citizen Press the true story from a conservative point of view, which is the true point of view, of what's going on at the state capitol. Stuff you're not going to hear anyplace else, at least in the Colorado media. So ColoradoCitizenPress.com, highly recommend you check it out. Hey, you know, we're going to have phones open today if you want to call in, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Love to have you call in. We're going to get to Trump's going to address the nation on the coronavirus thing. And once again, I hate to say it, it's so annoying. Chuck is right. This morning, we were kind of getting in an argument. Even the dog was barking at us. So I'm like, it's all right, Tiger, it's just politics. And then after I saw some of the things unfolding today, I'm like, oh, Chuck is right again. So we'll get to that in a second. But wanted to start off with the Minor Tuesday yesterday.
Yeah, Minor Super Tuesday. Disasters for Bernie. He took North Dakota, and it's about 50-50 in Washington. And it doesn't really
Bloomberg
matter.
Gave him American Samoa.
Yeah, gave him American Samoa. There you go. So Bernie is dead, and Bernie doesn't care. He went on. He had a news conference that was on 11 o'clock here, and he said he's staying in there and he can't wait to debate Joe Biden. We know what that means. Just like he debated Hillary Clinton, he'll just bring up something that doesn't bother her anymore. He'll bring up that Joe Biden voted for the Iraq war. Well, you've already said it. We know it 10,000 times. I mean, either like him or don't like him for that, but it doesn't make any difference. He won't talk about how his mind is shot. He won't talk about the fact that he has no intention of actually engaging in anything. In fact, can't engage in anything because he doesn't know. And it's just going to be the same boring old one on CNN Sunday night, and it'll be worthless.
He did it.
You know, where he gave in to Hillary at the convention.
I was going to say, if you're a Bernie supporter, and I'm not, don't get me wrong, but I would be angry because here we'll do the debate, okay? I'll be Bernie, you be Joe, or you want to be this and say,
okay.
So you know, how about you're Joe, you're getting the question. How about your cognitive issues, Joe? What's going on with that?
Go to Joe,
you're my friend. I've known you forever. You are the brightest guy I ever know. Oh, look, here comes Jill. Jill, come on in.
Come on.
Why don't you come on in?
Why don't you just kind of speak
for
the guy?
You give an answer. He's like, are you my sister? No, it's your wife, Jill. I mean, that's what the debate is going to be. And, you know, Bernie Sanders, I don't know why I'm getting upset about this.
I got upset last time, 4 years ago. I was all kind of excited.
He's going to write a book. He's going to get another house.
Oh, no,
and then he's going to, you know.
Add on to the doctor he's already got.
Bernie supporters, if anyone's listening, here's what you need to do. You need to become a Trump supporter because here's what you liked about Bernie, that he at least sounded like he cared about you and your life, right? The establishment Dems, Joe Biden, you know they don't. Just consider Trump. You may not like everything about it, but here's what he's going to do is he's going to fight for you, and he's not going to be like Bernie. He's not going to just use it again to cash in and roll over. And what is the most disgusting thing, I think, about what's happening here, Joe Biden went from losing to suddenly the front runner. That was not organic. It wasn't coincidental. It was the establishment, Democrat donors, and the elites of the party literally calling each other the day after or right before Super Tuesday saying, we got to get this together. So they forced Buttigieg out. They forced Amy Klobuchar out. They pretend Tulsi Gabbard doesn't even exist.
Right.
She's
woman.
Not a woman.
No,
she,
no.
Nor does she even exist as a presidential candidate.
That's right.
And so they get together. And here's what I think, Chuck. The rest of us may be concerned that Biden doesn't. Well, let's address this first. These are not gaffes, right? When Joe Biden, I've seen some liberal tweets saying, oh, what's the difference between Joe Biden attacking voters and Donald Trump? And it's like, it's one thing to say CNN is fake news. It's another thing to start swearing at a voter who you're trying to get to vote for.
Challenging to a fight.
Challenging to step outside and fight. I mean,
somebody's going to take him up on that.
Just bizarre. I mean, that's different. And that is number two. The other thing is, that's a degree of hostility and aggression we have not seen from Joe Biden before.
He's a grouchy old guy screaming at the kids on the lawn because he feels grouchy, you know.
Well, I gotta wonder, you know, I have had friends and relatives go through dementia and Alzheimer's.
So it's
and
almost everybody, I think, and, or and most
exactly,
people.
And I think one of the signs can be
grouchiness.
All of a sudden this
ill-tempered.
This ill-tempered, which is
especially that what hasn't been Joe. I mean, Joe was always, you know,
he was friendly. Yeah, friendly, happy Uncle Joe Biden. Now all of a sudden he's like little Iowa people, guys in Michigan. He's like, you know, calling and swearing at him and saying, let's go outside and fight. Let's do push-ups. I mean, it's just bizarre. So to me, that's another sign. I think Britt Hume hit it on the head. These are not gaffes. This is not forgetfulness.
He even admitted his own mind was not as sharp as it had been. I mean, but that'll be prohibited. No discussion, mental acuity. You could talk about Trump being removable because he was
we can wear a wire. Yeah. Well, you know, and I have had relatives who, and I'm sure everybody knows this too, where you see somebody who's declining in cognitively,
right,
Alzheimer's or something like that. And if you're not around them and you don't see them all the time, it can be kind of hard to tell. And I think particularly from people who've been in executive positions or used to talking, they have kind of pat phrases.
Like
they,
I'm running for the U.S. Senate. Oh, no.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. This is my wife. Oh, my sister. I mean, pat phrases that they can toss to when they get confused. And so it covers it up for a little bit. But what I think we're seeing is through this extended, and they're going to try, as you said, to keep him under a wrap as much as they can. But again, I think this is more than just Joe Biden being forgetful. I think there are real reasons to be.
I've watched Joe Biden for 30 years, and I watched him at DU give a speech, and, you know, he wasn't demented then than he is today. I mean, just the way it is.
Yeah, because Barney, speaking of demented, Barney online too. Hey, Barney, good afternoon. Thank you for calling.
Julie, you just broke my heart. You called me demented.
No.
Can't you get her more in line than that? What the hell is wrong with you two? And
sorry.
I was going to say, I watched the video you guys the other day, and I was going to say you were beautiful, Julie, but now I don't know. I'm
Barney, not demented. Sharp mind.
Sharp demented.
I'm kidding. I am freaking demented. It's okay. Yeah. I'm crazy. I'm all the things above. But I ain't as bad as Joe Biden. I can tell you that. But I would say, I want one of those AR-14s. By the way,
cool guns. Really cool.
They're
the best. I mean, how many people have been killed with an AR-14? That's what
150 million.
150
million have died from AR-14.
Oh, wow. Come on, Jack. Are you kidding me? That's malarkey. Hey, I'm getting suspicious now. Do you really think that this is real? That I don't know. I'm getting to be thinking like the Illuminati is in on this. How in the hell? I don't know, man. Something's up.
Here's
with
what I think, Barney. So
we'll
the other day, Chuck and I, you know, we've got YouTube now or everything, so we decided to go ahead and get Netflix. It took us like a day to figure it out. So we were watching The Irishman, right? And one of the things that's I understand they did there, so they go with Joe Pesci and Dustin Hoffman, right?
Robert De Niro.
They get younger, older, right? And they use graphics that are some kind of, you know,
digital manipulation.
To do that. I think that's what's going on with Joe Biden. It's really Jill Biden, right? And they're just kind of doing stuff to make her look like Joe, because it's not the real Joe Biden, I think, that we're going to be seeing from here on out.
Well, first off, I'm a little offended that Robert De Niro plays an Irishman. Give me a break. You can't take any white trash character. By the way, Chuck, you walked away from the camera the other day to read your son that wrote the sign, and I didn't hear the rest of that.
I couldn't read it. His handwriting is so bad.
Oh, really?
You know, they don't teach handwriting anymore. They have them on computers. So, I mean, it was like ancient Egyptian hieroglyphs or something.
He read it to me, though. He said he wanted us to remind everybody that his birthday was coming up.
Yeah.
So his birthday was March 2nd.
Happy birthday. Poor kid. Come on the radio show, come on the background and
that's
do a drive-by.
That's only when he gets any attention.
He's nine. He keeps asking.
I keep waiting for Tiger to... Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Julie. I'm sorry.
I was going to say at nine, because you know, they teach him stuff at school. This is why we don't want schools handling sex education, because he's been... it's a good thing he can't hear. He would kill me for saying this, but he's talking about puberty. You know, when do you get puberty? Stuff like that. And I keep telling him never will go through puberty.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Just stay in love with
the drugs
Michelle
for him.
Austin, that's all you're going to
get. Life-altering drugs will be healthy for him, you know.
So what do you
mean? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is Sanders going to drop out, Barney, or is he going to give it a...
I don't know. You know what, Sanders? You have no balls if you don't bring up Hunter Biden. And all these people that are so-called radicals and so-called, you know, lefties like my daughter, you've got nothing. If you're not going to bring up Hunter Biden and take Biden out, then, you know, I don't give a damn about your... I don't give a damn about your damn emails, Hillary. If he pulls that,
exactly.
I don't know. He deserves to lose.
He's pathetic. He's just a cowardly lion. I mean, you know, all this.
Right.
Are you going to bring the fact that he his mind is shut? No.
Not going to bring
nothing.
Up the corruption.
Yeah. Not anything. It'll just be a nice debate. He'll be sitting down, and Jill can be under the desk telling him what to do. It's going to be.
Oh yeah.
Barney? What do you think, though?
I don't know. Wouldn't it be great if Joe Biden walked out there and walked behind who are we talking about? Sanders, and snipped his hair? Now, that would be priceless, but I don't know what's going to happen. I just think that it would take nothing. If Trump ever gets on the stage, it will take nothing for Biden to be up there rambling. I mean, it will take nothing. Trump is going to eat him alive. But it sounds like the Democrats are all going to... the strategy to say, hey, we're going to lock him up. You know, we're going to put him in
They've got a nice, very nice area for him beneath something where, you know, we won't be able to escape, and he'll be down there for 8 months. They'll say the debates.
We
can't agree to any formats. We're ready to go.
He's got coronavirus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that coronavirus. Like, it'll be out there in November or September or whatever, August. By the way, I just want to talk to you guys black on black, okay? So, did you hear that one with Donna Brazile?
No.
Which one was she?
She's going off about how Joe Biden wanted to sit down with her and talk to her black on black. Like he's a black
on black. There you go.
Yeah, black on black. Yeah.
Black on black.
Hey, by the way, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Julia. I got something to tell you, though.
Okay, I was just going to say, maybe someone should tell Donna Brazile Joe Biden isn't black. Something, I don't know.
Donna. And he's not going to snip your hair because you're too damn ugly, not because you're black. But by the way, I'm going to India on the 17th. My boss is going back to India, and he's taking me with him. So I'm never been out of the country, and I'm kind of excited. I know it's kind of a crap hole in a lot of places, but
touch bases with Anil Mathai. He goes, his family's there, he works there all the time. He can tell you what
the best hotspots are, where all the fun is.
Yeah, that should be pretty cool. You have to send us pictures or something, okay?
It'll be fun.
You can be like Truffaut, dressed up and all white. You know, just go native for us.
Well, he's fake. So the best I can do is a turban and a little white outfit, but I promise I'm not going to go anywhere.
The dagger?
Yeah. Got to have the dagger, yeah. Yeah, actually, you know, it's funny. Some of the characters that come in the truck stop, they wear all that garb, and they actually wear the dagger. Drivers are weird. Well, they're just it just goes to show you, truck drivers, no matter what race you are flipping weird. That is all there is to it. So,
Take care.
Take it
easy. Thanks, Barney. Okay. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008, the number to call. You can also join us on Zoom if you want to have video and audio. Just go to chuckandjulie.com. That'll send you to the BBS link. You know, here's a question I have, Chuck. We were talking about this a little bit earlier today. I don't think, we care if Joe Biden is competent or incompetent mentally, right? I think to the Democrats and to the bureaucrat state and the people who really want to try to, the oligarchy that wants to try to run this country, that's a plus, right? If Joe Biden, they're like, holy cow, what a gift. We've got Joe Biden, who can't do anything, doesn't even want to do anything, doesn't know what. They could put him in a fake Oval Office, right, and let him pretend to be the president, and then they could have their people actually running things. And you were talking about with Wilson, where they just kind of send somebody in and say, says that's a good idea.
They ask his wife, and his wife
said, I'll find it. Explain that a little bit.
Well, he had serious heart trouble, and he was laid up, and really eventually recovered somewhat from it. But for, I don't know, 5 or 6 months, he was unable to meet with anybody other than his wife. So they'd say, what do you feel about so-and-so for the Supreme Court? And she'd go in and go, and then come back to the lousy pick. You know, I think my husband says so-and-so.
This person would be great.
And they go, oh, great. Yeah, we got the word from the Delphi Oracle. I mean, it was just amazing. I mean, they're going to have to get a chief of staff And she and the chief of staff will kind of jockey for the power. Maybe they get Eric Holder. You know, he'll explain everything.
Oh yeah, he'd be great,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Think, you know, oh yeah, you can give an executive order. You know.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, I think that if you're a Democrat power elite, and if you're the bureaucrat, can you imagine the deep state under Joe Biden as a president? I mean, they'd just be like, here, President Biden, we just talked to him. His chief of staff came out and said he has extended and expanded the Homeland Security's act. So now we can imprison anybody we like at any time, anywhere, even more. And you know, that whole pesky FISA court stuff. Well, we're just going to go to town on that. Joe, President, here's a signature right here. I mean, you know, they're just going to. So to me, I think if you're one of those bureaucrats who think you secretly should be running the country, and as we've seen under Donald Trump, really were running a lot of the country,
yeah,
right?
Still do.
This is their perfect candidate. And in the meantime, you've got other voters are saying, but hey, remember us? We kind of like that Elizabeth Warren, or I like Bernie Sanders. Like,
well, Kamala Harris will be vice president. She'll get to take over wherever, take over California, you know, everywhere west of the Mississippi or something. She can run down the drain, and east of the Mississippi, Elizabeth Warren can run down the drain, kind of co-empresses of the U.S. empire.
Well,
it'll be great.
Like, to me, there's a double threat in terms of a Joe Biden, because I think Republicans, yes, Trump is doing well, Hillary Clinton, a Joe Biden moment. Hillary Clinton thought the same thing, right?
Yeah.
And I think that two reasons. Number one, Joe Biden, the progressive policies. But again, number two, I think the fact that he would be just a puppet president.
Well, the young people won't come out to vote for him, but then they don't come out to vote anyway. So it doesn't make any difference. I mean, you know, just the real old people, and they'll just kind of like, why not? You know, I mean, he's black on black. He'll be able to rule the country.
And the only question is, will Bernie, this is what I think, that Bernie Sanders will drop out after the next debate, that they're going to use the next debate, for Bernie and Joe to talk about how great everybody is. And then
they have another election in the following Tuesday. And it's states like Illinois, which he'll do lousy in, and Georgia is after that. And he'll do lousy in everything. I mean, it's really over with. I mean, for the progressives, what it basically was is a girl progressive, women progressives like Elizabeth Warren. Schultz is great, and maybe some gay guys and trannies and everything else. And on the other side were Bernie bros, and the women hated the Bernie bros, but the guys liked the Bernie bros. So they divvied it up, and then they're both dead. And now we've got, you know, whatever you want it to be. I mean, it's the Democratic Party. If you got some money, you know.
You're in control now.
You're in control.
I mean, talk about, again, just the guys behind the scenes. I mean, they're not even going to worry about being, they're just going to all move into another Oval Office. Like I said, Joe will be in the fake Oval Office where he thinks that he's being the president. And, you know, they have him stand with Boy Scouts every so often,
right?
And then it'll be the rest of these swamp people will come back in force and take over the government. And again, for all of those reasons, it's crucial. It's going to be interesting to see how they try to run his campaign going forward, because you can
porch. That's, you know, the famous McKinley one in 1896, where he never left the front porch for good reason. And neither will Joe. He'll be rocking there. Oh, what another!
And he's going to make Donald Trump. They're going to do a Zoom teleconference or something for the debate, so they could fake it. 888-627-6008. If you want to weigh in on this, do you want to talk about now moving on to the coronavirus latest?
Let's talk about FISA for a second.
Okay,
it kind of fits in that. So now we've got a compromise for the FISA extension, in which nothing really happens. You know, they say, well, they'll have to report twice.
Well, haven't they all had to go through video training? So what we're talking about, just to back up a second, is part of the whole Mueller probe Russia hoax debacle, it became apparent, and the attorney or inspector general determined that FBI agents, deep state people, prosecutors, totally lied on applying for the secret surveillance of people in the Trump campaign, changed things flat out, left out the word like not in terms of he is a spy, left out the word he is not a spy. and the response was, I think, to send everybody to video training.
Yeah,
right?
The lower people who weren't doing it, send them to video training.
Then
Barr came in and showed her a firm, I'll just do it internally. I mean, oh, that'll be great. No problem there, as long as you do it internally. But you have to remember, the FISA abuse has been going on ever since it was enacted in 1978. You know, one time the FBI was, you know, making all these statements to the court, none of which had any basis. They were just making them up.
Right.
So they came up with this idea of the Woods procedure, named for somebody, you'd have to, okay, if you're claiming, you know, ABC was in Moscow on August 4th to sell out the United States, what's that come from? You can't just say, well, we heard it.
Hey, Mark, hang on. We'll get to you. We've got a phone call here in a second. You want to go to the ad? Or you want to?
No, screw Mark.
No.
No, I'm just kidding. Okay, Mark, come on on.
Chuck was about to go on his tirade. We got Mark on line three. Hey, Mark, thank you for calling.
Hey, Chuck and Julie.
Hey there.
Hey, Mark.
It's good to see you back online.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
First of all, I just wanted to say that I was listening to the radio when the whole quit happened. I didn't think anything of it, and I saw the after effect. It actually got me to go online and create a Twitter account.
Really? Good for you.
Actually try and defend you guys.
Well, good for you.
Well, thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
We appreciate
yeah,
that.
We really do.
We do appreciate that. And thank you for listening.
Yeah, because it was ridiculous, but everybody was making me so angry. I was calling everybody morons. And
good. you know you're right. Once
you're channeling your inner Barney.
Once you start calling people morons, you know you're on the right trail. You're going well.
It's like you guys don't even listen to the show. How can you be calling for cancellation?
Yeah. Well, they call the radio. Okay? We want to have Julio and Chuck
off their morning show.
There you go.
Yep. I even wrote a letter to the station.
Good.
Mark,
asking them not to, you know, that it was ridiculous. You're the only local news that we get, the real news. You're one of the main reasons I started listening to talk radio. I get all my information from you. So it was really, really sad to see what had happened. And I'm so happy to see that you're back.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
thank you.
You know, and now we can say morons and other things on the air, too. So, Mark, I do want to say, really, that was a difficult period, as you can imagine. A lot of ugliness. And what has totally outweighed that is just the remarkable kindness and support from people like you. Truly, we cannot thank all of you enough. I mean, it's just been... It just was so helpful, and it means the world to us. It really does.
Well, I think you guys mean the world to us.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're providing something that most of us don't get to hear. You know, and you're insightful about so many different subjects, including local, but also national.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a local question. Did you see today up at the state legislature? They're debating what the Republicans are calling
Polis care,
which would set up a Colorado, this in the height of the coronavirus stuff, right? So essentially, it's a step to single payer, to basically government health insurance in Colorado. It would
drive everybody else out.
Yeah, it would set up a government health insurance, drive everybody else out. So not that you have a much of a choice now, you'd have no choice then. I'm worried about this, Mark, because they control things. And this is one of Polis's pet projects. I think, and that's not even go into like, you know, how are we going to pay for it, right?
Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's typically what we hear from the Democrat side. We come up with a massive idea with no explanation as to how it's going to get paid for. It's just free magic money.
Right.
You know,
right.
We'll eliminate all of the insurance and have one single organization. That's the government, which is probably the worst run organization in the country.
Oh, I can give you an example. So today we were trying to deal with some tax stuff, right? So we get the letter and it says you can go to colorado.gov/revenue-online, right? So I go there, error message pops up, says error message, you know, can't help you, try later.
This broke down a few months ago.
So I thought, okay, well, there's a call line, right? So I call. And they're like, you're like number 5 million in the queue.
We'll be.
And it's like.
We'll get to you in 2021.
Yeah, we'll get to you in 2021. So I go back to, and the error message has been up all day. And I'm kind of like, so these are the people we want running our, it's bad enough if it's taxes, but these are the people we want running our health care? I don't think so.
Well, you look back at Obamacare, where they spend $1 billion on a website.
Right.
It does not take $1 billion to create a website. They could have built another Amazon for that.
That's true. Well, any thoughts on the Joe Biden situation?
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to disagree just a little bit with Chuck.
Okay.
No, Mark, no, we're begging you, no.
I think you're right about Sanders won't really be attacking the same way he was with Hillary. He kind of just let things go.
Right.
But I think the main thing we need to look at is prior debates, the questioning was split amongst 7 to 20 different people. With it down to 2 people, Biden has to spend at least an hour or so of the debate talking. And the more he talks, the more he shows that he is having a mental problem.
So that's a good point. Regardless of stuff,
but these are going to be MSNBC, CNN people kind of going, Joe, don't you believe? They'll just get have him do monosyllabic answers.
Yes.
Right? No. Go, Joe, don't you think? Yes. Okay. Now, Bernie, you bastard. We'll go after you.
No, that's a good point, though, Mark, that it'll be interesting. I'm going to wonder if they're going to try to cancel it, right? They're going to say, no reason. It's a done deal. I don't know.
I think that's the reason why that that James, is it Claiborne or whoever it is?
Claiborne.
High-end Democrats that are saying, no, we need to end the primary right now. Sanders has no chance because they know the more Biden has to talk, the more of a chance there is that he's going to say something. And he can't go 15 minutes without saying something.
And if you've ever been, my father got cognitive disability, which was eventually diagnosed as Alzheimer's. And, it gets worse a little bit every day, and some people faster than every day. And so you just don't know. You don't know if the next day they're going to seem fine or they're not going to seem fine. And so they got to get them off the trail. They've got to get them down a wine cellar
and that's what they want to do.
Just leave alone. Yeah.
Well, and his poor campaign
they want to lock him away so he can't say anything.
And his campaign staff, we should all buy stock in Rolaids or something like that, right? Because his campaign staff, can you imagine just how nerve-wracking every time he gets out there, you're like, oh, God, please help us. So,
oh, no, he's going.
Yeah, exactly.
He's going.
He's
going
to shoot.
We should want 5 debates. Just line them right up because he's going to stand up there and he'll eventually, push for everybody to vote for Trump again.
He cannot read a teleprompter anymore.
You have to re-elect Trump.
Exactly.
AR-14.
Hey, Mark, thank you for the call. Call anytime. We love having you. Thank you for your support.
Thank you. Okay. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Oh, yeah. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. The number to call if you want to weigh in. So we'll talk about, open lines, really. Anything you want to talk about Well, not even within reason. This is internet radio. If you want to talk about Chuck's idea to set up the conservative dating website. On coronavirus, so Trump is going to address the nation today. And I have to say, like I said, this isn't an annoying thing. I was for a long time saying, no, the president should just, the media is becoming hysterical. People know that. Anybody you talk to, for instance, today we have a friend who, a parent at the elementary school where their daughter goes, a parent was diagnosed presumptive for coronavirus. So what do? They close the school. And they're like, you can't close the school. It's like, can't we just disinfect things? It's like the school is closed indefinitely. So that means they can't go to work. And they're like, it doesn't deserve this, right? I had another friend, big event she was going to go to in Colorado Springs it was a national event going to be held at the Broadmoor, canceled because of coronavirus. And she said, that's BS.
Well, the Ivy League schools have canceled all classes, or most of them have. And you just go online, and eventually they're going to figure out, why don't we just do online all the time?
How can we charge people this much?
Right. But they also, today, they said, no spring athletics, none, zero, zilch. Okay, you spent your whole life getting ready for your senior season.
Right. No, forget that.
Canceled. The likelihood that there'll be coronas among the athletes is really pretty small. I mean, you can say, no fans, but there are no fans at Ivy League games anyway, so it wouldn't make any difference. But, they hate those people who play athletics anyway. And so it's just wonderful. And they said, now for you guys who've qualified, some Ivy League team undoubtedly qualified for the NCAAs, you'll get decided by left-wing Marxists, at the school, whether you jerks can actually play in anything. It's wonderful.
It is. Well, and here's the thing. And my little boy, Rev, who's 9, we're going to school, and we were talking about it this morning. And he said, well, what happens if you get coronavirus? And I said, well, you kind of get sick. And he said, well, do you get sick as bad as strep? Because we go through strep periodically, fairly regularly. And I said, no. for the most part, no. Some people get really sick and it can be fatal, but for the most part, no. And he said, well, is it like a cold? And I said, for the most part, yes, a bad cold. And he was kind of like, so what, which is exactly my point. It's like, so let's say even you get coronavirus, it doesn't seem like by all accounts. And again, I understand that some people get very sick and it can be fatal. But for the vast majority, for thousands and thousands of people, it's not. And in fact, part
well,
of the problem.
All we have to watch for, quite frankly, is that the presidential candidates don't get sick because they're in the high risk group. I mean, they're on super high risk.
Joe
I mean,
Biden,
they,
we don't want him to get it.
God, no. Or so, Trump anyway, or him. They're all just, you know,
My big thing was Trump should not buy into that. He should not contribute to the hysteria. And Chuck was like, no, he's got to get ahead of it. And so this morning, finally, as I'm I looked down and I'm like, darn it, once again.
Should we tell him the other one?
Forget. I can't remember. There was no other ones.
I'll tell you.
Wait, well, let me just finish. So on the coronavirus. Okay. So I said, Chuck, you're right. And then lo and behold, I guess the president channeled his inner Chuck because he is holding a national address tonight, roughly 6 o'clock, to talk about the whole thing. So go ahead. You can tell what other
okay.
one.
Okay. Julie's not part of this conversation. So, you know, we own a newspaper and you know, advertising is the lifeblood of any newspaper, any organization. And so we had this person who was interested. A couple months ago and want to do a half page, which is great, and want to do this and that. And I said, well, let's call them up and see, you know, what's going on. Are they still interested or maybe they're not? But, you know, just make contact. Just say, make in touch and go, no, well, they don't want to do it. They're never going to do it. They never wanted to do it. And I don't know why you're around.
I wasn't quite that crappy.
Yeah, you were that crappy. and no, it's stupid. It's just dumb. And don't ask me again. Don't do it ever again. All right, I'll finally send the email. And the people email back. Great. We've just been waiting to hear from you. How are you doing? This is tremendous. We need to get together next week. And she said,
wow. But I was a good wife and I told him that, right?
I wouldn't have told her. After that spiel, I wouldn't have told her.
I said, you're channeling, you're taking the karmic energy and you're using it to channel a newspaper ad, which is a good thing. Yeah. But on this, so I had to say you're right again. So here's what I think the president should do is he needs to get ahead of it because it's gotten out of control, right? I mean, the virus hasn't gotten out of control. The media reaction has gotten out of control. And therefore, so if you're like this big event that was getting canceled, right? It was a national convention and I won't say what because my friend would kill me, but the bottom line is if you're those people, you don't want to start selling tickets and paying for all of that because you know there are going to be people who are going to be afraid to come, who don't want to come. You're seeing concerts being canceled, not because anybody thinks they're going to get coronavirus or they're going to give it to you, simply because they know that
you're not going to go.
Yeah, people aren't going to go and it depresses
but
ticket
this
sales.
This is a good time. You can pick up a really big boat cruise ship cheap.
Yeah.
It's really cheap. They're selling them for dime a dozen.
So enough things are being canceled. And I agree with Chuck. I think that this would be my advice to Trump if he ever checks into the Chuck and Julie podcast.
He does, okay.
I think so. Yeah. What you need to just get ahead of this and you need to, I think, develop a plan and a policy to go ahead and say we're gonna
cancel Congress. They shouldn't be meeting.
It's like non-essential.
Chuck Schumer should not be allowed to go. Nancy Pelosi is just typhoid Mary anyway.
You just gotta get ahead of it because they're not gonna let it up. It's gonna be on you no matter what. And I would start hammering home with a number of things. One, this is a really good idea. I was writing down some of the things they were talking about doing. Number one, delay the tax deadline. I am for that. It's like, I think absolutely they should delay that. Another thing I think they should do.
Get rid of the IRS altogether. Yeah.
Because those are loaded with germs and all that paper handling and stuff like that.
They should
also, I think, get rid of any meetings that start before 9 o'clock in the morning.
I said noon.
Yeah.
And they can't go beyond 1:30.
Right.
Except the paper I own and other things I'm part of. And that's a different story.
I also think. And this is going to sound bad, but because when I was in college, we used to joke when you would get sick and we would drink because we said, well, this is alcohol. Alcohol kills germs. I think they need to do something about vodka prices. I'm just saying.
Get them down. Bring them to the, you know, something reasonable. And bring them down the same percent that oil's going down.
But go ahead and
have a match up, you know, oil and vodka prices.
Barrels of vodka and barrels of bad. 888-627-6008. If you have any suggestions on what you'd like to see them do. But on a serious note, though, I think he's just going to have to do this and he's going to have to write it out. And be on top of it. And I, like I said, initially I was like, no, we should not buy into the hysteria. Because that's all it is. That's what it is, right? But it's not. It's
don't let that crisis go to waste.
Right, exactly, exactly. And you know what I would
get
do?
Get Ron Emanuel in there saying, hey, I know this isn't your agenda, but what if our agenda would you do to...
Right, well, and I think I would go ahead and push border security. I think go ahead and say, this is exactly why we need secure borders, right? We had Bernie Sanders just, what, yesterday? Mm-hmm. Over the weekend saying, oh, no, coronavirus, what a bunch of hypocrites. It's like, no, we don't need border security. We don't need to close the borders. We can let, if you're an illegal criminal immigrant with coronavirus, just come on in. Come on in. And that's totally cool. But if you're trying to go on vacation to Italy, no, right? I mean, it's just ridiculous. So I think we need to use this to push the need for border control. And I think also, hopefully start to put a spike in all of these globalist policies, right? There is a reason that different countries
cancel the UN.
Yeah, exactly. Just take the money away from the UN. And the other thing is, too, I think it's another good push for Trump to say, this is what I've been talking about with U.S. manufacturing, right? This is why we don't want to rely on other countries for our oil.
Mandated. So you must have X percentage of pharmaceuticals made within the United States. That would be a great policy.
Exactly. I mean, but in the meantime, we've got the hypocritical Democrats saying, oh, it's all Trump, it's his Katrina, but we want open borders. So anyone who's sick can come in without being screened or tested for anything, coronavirus included. We want to go ahead and make sure.
Cancel your rallies, Trump. I mean,
Trump rallies. No rallies. None of those. Yeah. It's like, in spite of Candace DeBacca saying she hopes all the Trump supporters get the coronavirus.
She was kidding.
I know. But you know what I mean? It's just the hypocrisy there. And in terms of, they're like, oh, we need to have all open borders. And, we're going to get rid of oil and gas. It's like, I saw what in the paper today, another solar plant in Colorado is going bankrupt, laying off all of its employees. So
Green New Deal.
The Green New Deal. If you were the president, what else? Well, one other thing I'd do is I'd start leaning on the governors, because in a way, I would make their share the pain, basically. Yeah, right. I mean, a lot of the response does, by its nature, have to be sort of local response, right? I mean,
he's got to have a long-term plan. So this is my long-term plan. The one I suggest to him is we're going to try to contain. We won't be able to, but to the extent we can tap down the flood of coronavirus, the less people that do, we're going to do that. And we're going to get in the spring when traditionally it taps down.
Right.
We're going to pour that $8.7 ridiculous $1 billion of our money into medical research. Everybody's going to go to try to get a vaccination, bring Israel in, who's doing some great stuff there. Really get it. Say, by fall, I want this a vaccination to the extent we can do it. And so really, if they can get a successful one, then they've really, there'll be a new one in Wuhan, China. But that's a long-term plan. So come
plus
fall.
Plus it looks good.
Plus it looks good. And that's,
Well, that is politics. Well, the other thing I think they should do then is, which the president is talking about doing, by delaying, we were joking about the tax deadline, but apparently the Trump's cabinet people estimate that would pour in, millions and millions and millions of dollars into the economy, right? If businesses didn't have to pay taxes or penalties, if that was delayed. Another thing I would do is consider some sort of stimulus. I mean, you tell me, would this even work? I would say, okay, we're going to give the airlines some stimulus if they pass it directly onto passengers. If I were Trump, I would go ahead and do that. I would take a look at the businesses. And again, number one, that's kind of fair, right? If we have hysteria, basically closing some
that's
of these businesses.
That's a bad idea. Bad idea to intervene in the market. Anytime you have any problem on any kind of thing, you're having some losses. We'll pay for it, You don't have to worry about paying us back. But, that's what you're doing.
So what would you do then? I would just say
I wouldn't subsidize all these businesses. They have to handle, that's a capitalist system. I mean, you can't know. And the idea that every time you come with a crisis, you just flood money into businesses that are struggling.
Small newspapers.
Excellent idea. They
like
need
the
major. They
Chronicle.
Need yeah, double trucker by Donald Trump. Yeah. He's got to have a solution, and that getting the virus antivirus for it is going to be critical, because there'll be another one. And the reaction to this one will be so much that the next one will come by.
Here's another thing I would do, too. And this is a little extreme for me. I mean, I was in the media as a journalist for, 25 plus years. I think that there are FCC rules and regulations about, in situations like this, knowingly broadcasting false
Oh, yeah, let's get the bureaucracy.
I don't know.
Another brilliant idea.
I would hammer down.
Oh, my God.
I would hammer down.
Let's give all the Obama
CNN.
People.
I would hammer down on Washington
they won't,
Post.
They, yeah.
I would hammer down on
They don't
ABC.
Hammer on any of those. They'll be hiring on our show. Us. We'll get this letter.
Julie,
what's wrong with you?
Maybe not from the bureaucrats, but at least some public pressure. I mean, you see it a little bit already. Some of the doctors that these guys use. I mean, it's interesting. Dr. Oz, he's like an ABC Oprah guy, right?
Right.
But he's appearing on Fox News saying, no, quit being so panicked. We don't need to be panicked. We don't need to close everything down. But I don't know. If you're Trump, I don't think you close down schools. What do you close down?
He doesn't have the ability to close. I guess he gives some second. No, that's not up to him, and it shouldn't be.
Well, what
him.
Would you do if you were him?
I'd say, look, we're going to help. With the, you know, to the extent there are dislocations and the government can help with those, not just handing out bales of money to airlines.
It was not my plan.
And you know, we're going to try to keep this within, you know, it's going to go to a lot of people. I mean, Angela Merkel said it's going to go to 70% of Germany, and she's going to help infect the rest or something. But you know, just kind of, we're going to try not to get 60 to 70%. We're going to try to get as low as we can reasonably do without destroying the country. But our longer term plan, it is mid-March. And we've got to get it so by fall
for the next flu season. That makes sense. Here we got some texts coming in. Tim Neville says Chuck is right. Chuck is right. No picking winners and losers. Business stimulus. All right, not even small newspapers or Republican IECs. No, I'm kidding. Well, all right, but I think that what he could do is For instance, when the British Petroleum, when there was that giant oil spill in the Gulf,
right.
What happened there was, remember, all the businesses were going out of business.
All small businesses.
And then the Obama people flew down there and
killed the rest of them,
right, and said, don't come here. So I think some...
And then small businesses sued the big businesses.
And then the U.S. Chamber of Commerce
filed the Mika Curiae. For the big businesses,
for the British Petroleum, the people who did it.
Oh, yeah.
But I think, though, if you're Trump, there are going to be some small businesses possibly hurt by that. And I think
small businesses are hurt by everything. The first fish that died is small business.
We'll concede the argument for this point. We'll agree to disagree to a certain extent with Chuck and Tim Neville. 888-627-6082 if you want to come in. We'll see what Trump says. I imagine that that's what it's going to be. And here's another thing I like about Trump. I think he has learned on the job. I think that Trump, in his first year in office, would have doubled down on this, right? And would have been very competitive in fighting on it. I think this Trump,
you're all pieces of
right. He would have said, "You're all dog face pony liars," or whatever it was.
Pony soldier liars.
Yeah. I think that this Trump has learned a couple of things. One, like you said, it's crisis. Let's see how we can. Use this in a way that is helpful to all of us and still deals with the crisis. But I also think he realized, you know, there's a time when you want to double down and there's a time when you want to say, okay, that's, you know, this path is not working and to stick to this path is going to be foolish. And I think that to me, that's a good sign in the president, because I don't think he would have.
Well, we'll see what he does tonight.
I'll be totally wrong. He'll say, we're not going to do anything. Everything is still open, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
We'll see.
But, you know, it is annoying to me, though, and I think that the average person out there, at least the people I talk to, seem to have the hysteria in hand. I think most people recognize that it is a media-driven hysteria, politically-driven hysteria. And that is yet another thing, I think, that sort of pounds in how worthless and how biased the media has become.
Well, yeah.
I mean, do you think?
Well, I forget who said it, but you have to take everything through the lens of the November election. I mean, whatever comes up, whether it's coronavirus or it's FISA, wherever it is, they report it only through the lens of the November election. Now, how do we spin this in order to enhance the possibilities of a beloved elder gentleman, Joe Biden?
Well, and I think Trump seems to be doing a good job, too, because he's dragging Nancy Pelosi and Democrats into it, right? So they're going to complain about whatever he does, but I think he's bringing them into the decision making and the discussion process. So
I don't think he's bringing them in. I think he's, you know, not, you know, they're not going to help. They're not going to. He just got to do what he's got to do. And consulting with Nancy is not going to be helpful.
Okay. One other thing you want to talk about, a lot going on today, too, on top of that, the Harvey Weinstein verdict?
Yeah, you know.
23 years? Or not verdict, but sentence.
Yeah, I love our justice system. I mean,
Another rant's coming.
No, that's good. So these days, it used to be in some states, you could only charge a person with one count. You couldn't just load it up with 52 counts just because you felt like it. And you didn't have things like conspiracy.
Well, and all the lesser.
And all the lesser and all the more and all being inventive for everything else. So you have a trial these days. And what happens is that the jury does the very best job they can. They find no, the very serious charges, we don't agree with those.
In the Weinstein case, it was the serial rape.
Yeah, but we do find for the lesser included, it makes no difference. Then the judge goes, and I just go, I'll just give you a life sentence for a guy who's in his 70s, 23 years. And now you're going to go to California for another case. That'll be great for you. And so it doesn't matter what the jury finds. As long as they find one guilty one, then they'll just go bonkers. And then they'll do, you know.
I would say this.
It's just 23 years. No one else would have gotten 23 years. No. For those kind of ones, and then everybody celebrate, yay!
Well, no one else would have even been charged, right?
No, that's true.
I mean, you look at that. See, has the who was the NBC guy, Matt Lauer? Nothing's happened with Matt Lauer.
Yeah, she didn't like the.
Right. I mean, it's you know, nothing's happened. The whole Jeffrey Epstein thing, right? Now he's dead, obviously, but obviously. Even with the jokes, it's like Harvey Weinstein. But I mean, it's like nobody charged him, and that was minors. I mean, that was way
they
worse. That was
to.
That,
they were going to.
Well, they were, but they didn't at first, right? It took him years and years. Everybody else, the Clintons,
I recommended,
still remained being
I recommended to Harvey to do a Charlie Chaplin. When he
oh, Flea.
Oh God, what was he doing
well,
here?
And what's his face? The director, right? Who just got another
Roman Polanski?
Right, Roman Polanski. So what's wait
award.
A minute? He just got another award. Yeah. So just the hypocrisy.
I would have headed right to I don't know where Hungary somewhere.
Maybe not Hungary.
Yeah, Hungary. Because Hungary's not going to enforce it, you know.
No, isn't there some Caribbean nation?
Yeah,
that,
but the
well, here's the thing.
FBI
when Harvey Weinstein, he was clearly a pig, right? What he did was wrong. But
he's nowhere he's not in the same league as Bill Cosby. Cosby really did rape.
He's not in the same league as Bill Clinton.
No, he's not in the same league as Bill Clinton. But he's viewed as much worse. And now the Colorado legislature wants to get rid of all statute of limitations for sexual assault. That'll be great. Yeah, I know. I think I remember. You, when I was 4 years old, assaulted. Yes, you did.
Well,
yes, you did.
And that would be one thing. It would be one thing if the way that the prosecutorial system worked weren't so driven by politics. Jussie Smollett, innocent one day, guilty the next day, right? And meanwhile, then the prosecutor who screwed everything up there decided to let him off. She's
just got $1 million from George Soros.
From George Soros. So what's up with that?
Why can't we charge George Soros of rape?
He's
raping our country.
It'd be one thing if there was some fairness to it. It's another. I mean, yeah. I like you said, I've covered cases where guys who were serial rapists who, and this was like stranger rape, right?
Stranger rapes and attacks,
right. Not sexual transactions, shall we say.
Casting couch.
Yeah, casting couch kind of things. Where I think, yes, it was wrong. I'm not trying to say that, but it was more transactional in nature. You did have these women writing them back and forth afterwards. That's to me, and you know, call in if you want to yell at me, 888-627-6008.
Call in to yell at Julie.
Yell at Julie. That is a far different situation than somebody who, it's a stranger rape where they break into your house, tie you up, and then rape.
And those guys don't get 23
years.
That's
what I was going to say. And they don't get 23 years.
And the victim does not write to the rapist later saying, oh, you were so great.
Can I get
your
a
new
job?
Movie?
Right.
Yeah, you've been great.
Right.
Hope thanks. No, it's just, it doesn't, the U.S. justice system, luckily though, I found that the Japanese justice system is even worse than the U.S. justice system. They have a 99% conviction rate. We only have like a 95 or 96%. And they put you in solitary confinement once they charge you. I mean, it's really an awful system. So we're not the worst.
But it is worse. And here's what the problem I have, like you said, with the legislature, and this is going to pass. What they want to do is there has been a statute of limitations on sexual assault allegations, right? And it's long. It's long. But they're going to, I think, make it just unlimited.
Right.
And on one hand, yeah, that makes sense because.
No, it doesn't make sense.
Let me finish. There are certain cases where maybe there's been trauma. You don't remember, blah, blah, blah. You didn't feel strong enough. I get that. On the other hand, though, we have seen such a political. It's become so political. okay? And all of a sudden something's popular in the culture. So something that was not considered all that bad or at least deserving of life in prison like 20 years ago suddenly is. So now this person remembers. There is no fairness there, I think. And then you look at the kind of stuff they did to Brett Kavanaugh, right? He's saying this in his college diary or his high school diary. And it's like, we know that means sex assault. It's like, no, it doesn't. It means chugging beers, right? And so the system has become so screwed up that way. And again, if you're Bill Clinton, nothing happens. Nothing happened to Bill Cosby forever.
Well, they always say that it's so hard to prosecute, you know, a crime that's two decades old. No, it's almost impossible to defend yourself against a prosecution couple decades.
Oh, sure.
Prosecutors can just get up there and throw it against the wall, and they're corrupt anymore.
Well, let's just take the Kobe Bryant situation, right? Oh, yeah. So Kobe Bryant, I covered the beginnings of the rape trial here in Colorado. I was up there covering it. It was all ready to go to trial. Kobe Bryant reaches a financial arrangement, basically, with the victim in this case. Now, say what you will about the strength or weakness of the case, but it was a rape case. And in Colorado, under the rape laws, he was looking at potentially life in prison, right? Yeah. But that, so for a while, everybody hated Kobe Bryant. Well, then he becomes an NBA star and he buys his wife in China. And granted, it appears that he became at any rate, all of a sudden now he's a hero, right? And women and people are getting suspended and fired for mentioning that whole rape case. Oh, well, sure. What if it had been the other way around? What if he was a hero, didn't care, and all of a sudden you're Kobe Bryant, and now 20 years later, it's the Me Too movement, and something that you have been, essentially was behind you, right? And you've
gone all of a sudden now. I said yes at the time, but I'd had a drink or two, or who knows, because they're not going to be able to check anymore. I mean, the odds on you beating somebody who claims 23 years ago you raped him is probably zero. And the defense, it's very, very, it's like FISA, right? FISA was, it's incredibly difficult to get a FISA warrant.
To the FISA. Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. You know, you can't believe the stuff you have to go through. How checks of those judges. Oh my God, they're vicious. It's a really tough procedure. Then we find out it's a joke, right?
Right.
It's an utter immoral joke. You can add in this salacious gossip, which is a joke if you read it.
And then just flat out lie.
But even during not lying, anybody who read that thing say, well, this is a little, no problem, you know?
Well, why do you think, to me, it seems like a no-brainer that if you're in Congress, you're like, no, we're not going to automatically renew this. Why? I mean, to me, this is just more evidence of the swamp on both sides of the aisle there, that they're okay
come in,
this.
And because you have no idea. They come in and say, oh, my God, there's going to be a bombing in L.A.
Right. We need this.
The country's going down. If we don't have this, we would have. The FBI saw 542 cases just because of this. Yes, they were all phony, but we solved them all by getting all these people, these mentally retarded people back in jail or in jail.
Right.
And so they get terrified. And so they go, oh, my God, if we don't approve it, what are we going to do? And so they all go, oh, I see. You can make them. Double pinky swear. Excellent. Double pinky swear.
Well, and they did go to that video training.
And make the underlings who didn't abuse anything, let them go through video training.
They went to the
don't
video.
Do as we tell you to do, not what we do.
It's like, don't lie on the FISA warrant, okay? That was the video training. How hard
not
could that
be? Not for the upper tier guys. No. And then you have Comey going, I thought we had more robust procedures to prevent this type of abuse, but apparently.
I was just ahead of it. I didn't even know. Who knows? It's like, I didn't read it. That's depressing, too.
It is depressing.
We don't want to end the show.
I'm happy. I got something happy for you. We went to the
caucus
last week and so forth. And two of us agree with Julie.
I was supposed to be the minion.
You're the minion. You're
the minion caucus helper.
And Linda and her son were going to be the other ones. So we got the letter to everybody's a delegate now, you know, because we had nobody come. We'll all be delegates. And we have no PCPs, so don't worry about anybody doing any grassroots garbage. And we're all set. And if you want to go on to the state assembly, which is going to be another cluster, you know, just get your $70 in, and you've probably got a very good chance of making that, and then we can finally get rid of this system and turn it all over to Cousin Pete and Phil. And we just, you know, so as Jeff Hez says, we can't have underfunded candidates winning primaries.
He was talking, we'll talk with Matt Arnold next week. Jeff Hayes, somebody had sent me Jeff Hayes is still the registered agent for the Colorado Republican Party, which is kind of odd, I think. But at any rate, he was...
Well, who else did he make the registered agent?
He was responding to some grassroots people and basically saying, Matt Arnold has challenged in court repeatedly Bob Beaupre, who's a Republican bigwig in Colorado. And
we can say, since we're on.
We don't have time, but it's a different show. That's
Beaupre crime family. We can say it.
But that is Bob Beaupre and all of his friends and relatives and daughter and brothers and son-in-law. It's like a Biden kind of thing, right? Where everybody's involved in making money out of the whole thing.
Crashing people.
But anyway, so Matt Arnold sues them because they keep violating campaign laws.
Right.
And Jeff Hayes referred to it as rinky-dink lawsuits. I'm like, the Colorado Court of Appeals just said they can't do that, right? If you're gonna be a political party, you have to be a political party. You can't kind of like hide it. The whole thing gets down to a matter of transparency is what it's about. And essentially, the Colorado Court of Appeals said, hey, you got to be transparent.
Not much. God knows not much, but a little bit.
You can't totally hide behind everything.
Not totally, just mostly.
But that's going to wrap it up for us. On Friday, we're going to have Patrick Neville, again, House Minority Leader with the Minority Report. Casper Stockham is going to come back on and wants to talk about his campaign there in CD6. Last week, we had Steve House on, so we're being fair there. I want to let you know the show is sponsored today by ColoradoCitizenPress.com, one of our favorite websites. And finally...
Must go to.
Exactly. We'd love to have you follow us on Twitter, Chuck and Julie One.
We're begging you on... Was it YouTube?
YouTube. We're begging you on YouTube. What we want to do is be able to live stream events going on at the state capitol or when they were at Denver City Council, the Trump people to issue their statements about Candace DeBaca. We want to be able to live stream that on YouTube, but YouTube says we have to have 1,000 subscribers and we've got a ways to go. So if 8-year-olds can do it, we can do it. We would love to have you.
You don't have to be 21, by the way.
Go to chuckandjulie.com. You can catch all the podcasts there, but the link to YouTube, and would love to have you.
Just subscribe, and you don't charge anything. You don't get any
emails.
Nobody's going to be calling you.
But we'll be better able to do our job, which is to bring you up-to-date breaking information, which is a lot of fun.
We'll have to bring reports on how many YouTubers we've had, Julie.
That's right. Yeah. I have to figure out how to look at that. But we're getting there. So thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you to the great producers there at BBS. And we will talk to you on Friday.
See you Friday.